Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
In today's scripture, the parable of the sower, Jesus asks us to consider what type of listener are we? In this parable, the sower is Jesus. The seed is God's word, and the soil is us, the listeners to the word. Are we the prejudiced hearer, whose heart is hard and mind is shut, and an easy mark to be taken away by the devil? Or are we shallow listeners who initially respond with emotional reaction, but when it wears off, their mind wanders to something else? Or are we the person with so many interests and so many cares and worries in the world that we don't take time to study or meditate on the word, and therefore don't comprehend what is truly important? Or do we approach the word, hearing it with an open mind, always willing to listen, study, and to learn? Please listen to Matthew 13, 1 through 3. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorn refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. Let us all be the good soil.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. I think we all understand, we realize very basically that to succeed in life, our attitude, a positive attitude, is critical. Of course, not everyone has a good attitude about life. Some people have a downright rotten attitude. The internet carried an item recently that reflects a rotten attitude. It's called The Cynic's Guide to Life. It's a clever takeoff on some of life's familiar cliches. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a broken fan belt and a leaky tire. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows, and a foundation leaks, and a ball game gets rained out, and a car rusts, and on and on. Follow your dream, unless it's the one you're at work in your underwear during a fire drill. Do not walk behind me, for I may not lead. Do not walk ahead of me, for I may not follow. Do not walk beside me either. Just leave me alone. If you don't like my driving, don't call anyone. Just take another road. That's why the highway department has so many roads. It's always darkest before the dawn. So if you're going to steal someone's newspaper, that's the best time to do it. Keep your nose to the grindstone and your shoulder to the wheel. It's cheaper than plastic surgery. And finally, this land is your land. This land is my land. So you stay on your land and get off of mine. Not everyone in life we know has a great attitude, but a great attitude is really important for all of life. In fact, our attitude can determine whether or not we actually respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and such large crowds have gathered around him that he gets into a boat and sits out on the water to teach while all the people stand on the shore. And he begins his teaching with a parable. The soil is anyone who hears the message of the gospel. Now think about that for a moment. You and I are the soil in this parable. I could have said that we are dirt, but dirt sounds a little bit negative, and no one wants to be called dirt. Jesus is trying to make a positive statement here, so we are soil, hopefully rich, productive soil, the kind that you would want to plant flowers in and your crops in. And the writer of Genesis tells us that we were all created out of dust, out of the ground. So Jesus begins his explanation by saying, the soil is anyone who hears the message of the gospel, and the seed sown along the path is anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. The devil, the evil one, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Why don't these people understand the message of the kingdom? One reason why we might not is because we have been culturally conditioned to think in a small box. We all know about Gandhi. Well, he believed one of the biggest challenges to the independence movement in India was not that the British, but the mindset of the Indian people themselves. He recognized that most Indians had such a low opinion of themselves that many believed that they deserved to be occupied and ruled by the British. Unfortunately for these humble people, the British knew that and they used it against the Indian people. The British presence was not all that large in India. It amounted really to a few governors scattered around in a country of millions of people and just pockets of small military groups scattered around the country. And describing Britain's power over its people, Gandhi said, "Never were so many ruled by so few." And it was true. So we set out to show India a different way of thinking, one that spoke to their souls about the greatness that they could have. The outcome was India's successful move to national independence in 1948. In the same way, we have people within our culture who may not respond to the gospel because they have been conditioned against it. They may sit in church around our nation week after week, but they've been so beaten down by their upbringing since they were children that they have negative expectations that have been given and placed on them by others. Maybe their parents or their grandparents or their family. They have such a low opinion of themselves that they cannot even hear the message of the gospel and salvation, that they can be set free and that they can be somebody. They want to believe. Their low attitude of themselves makes it nearly impossible. And every time a little seed of hope is planted in their hearts, the evil one comes and snatches it away from them with lies about their self-worth and what they can be. They say that, says Jesus, is the seed sown by the path. Now, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, in Israel, much of the land is 2 or 3 inches of veneer soil over limestone bedrock. And when the sun beats down after the seed has been planted, then it hits on that soil and that bedrock, and it heats up, and it just withers away and it dies. It's too much heat. It dies because the soil is rocky ground. Now, why does the rocky ground refer to? How about the complacent church member with one foot inside the church and the other foot outside of the church? More concerned with respectability than with righteousness or holiness in their life. This is the half-hearted saint who never makes a full commitment to Christ and to Christ's kingdom. Evangelist Donald Barnhouse told a story many years ago about a man who brought a bottle of perfume back from France for his wife. And she just treasured that perfume. It was very expensive, and it was in a very beautiful bottle. His wife was very proud of it and used it until it was gone. Even when it was gone, she kept it on a table in her dressing room. And her friends coming in the room would say, "Oh, what beautiful perfume. What a beautiful bottle." Then there came an occasion when the woman wanted to wear the expensive scent, but the bottle was empty. So she took her handkerchief and put it down into the bottle and left it there for a couple of days. And then she got enough fragrance that she could kind of put it on her, and she got another day's worth out of that perfume. Barnhouse will tell that story and say, there are so many people in our churches who are like that. If someone came near and would listen to their conversation, you may be able to hear them say, "Oh, my grandfather, my father were Christians, and my parents were Christians, and they went to such and such a church, and they were members of this church." The fragrance of their commitment from their family still lingers around them in their lives, but as far as they're concerned, their bottle and their relationship with Christ is empty. They've never made a commitment to Christ themselves. They have no fragrance of Christ in their lives because their personal bottle is empty. Barnhouse went on to say that so many Christians who have given so much keep it tightly sealed in themselves. No one passing near would ever know for a moment that they have the Spirit of God within them. And the one wonderful thing about God's perfume, if we have it, if we accept Christ, the more we give it away, the more empty the bottle becomes, the more God will fill that bottle, fill our fragrance of Christ back up. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word of God and once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. These are shallow, complacent church members still getting by on their grandparents' faith or their mother's faith. They have no root. The bottle is empty. Then there is a third group. This is those who are exposed to the gospel. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Now, this group is easy to identify. They either don't show up at church very often, or when they do come to church, they're always checking their watches. They're hoping that the service will hurry up and get over with so they can get on with their real interests and their real concerns. They've got to get to the restaurant before the other churches let out. Company's coming, so we've got to get home and clean up the house. The market's bounced around a lot this year, so we've got to get home and look over my investments in my portfolio. These are not bad people. They just never really focused on God and their relationship with God and what God expects from them. God is basically not relevant in their lives. Dr. Greg Hendricks tells about a writer who married his secretary. The writer was a stern and difficult person, and Hendricks recounts that the man dearly loved his wife, but he was thoughtless and absorbed in his own interests and his activities, treating his wife as if she was still his secretary, still his employee. Stricken with cancer, she was confined to her bed for a long time, and then she finally died. And after the funeral, the writer went back to his empty house. He was grieving deeply. He wandered around aimlessly downstairs, engrossed in thinking about his wife, missing her. And after a while, he went upstairs to a room and sat by the bed in the chair that was there, where she had been lying for months with the cancer. He realized with painful regret that he had not gone up and talked with her and sat with her very often. And he noticed her diary there that he would have never picked up and read while she was alive, but he picked it up and began to read it. And one entry called him. It said, "Yesterday, he spent an hour with me, and it was like being in heaven. I love him so much." He turned a few more pages and read, "I listen all day to hear his steps in the hallway, and now it's late. I guess he won't come to see me today." He read a few more entries and then threw the book on the floor and ran out into the rain, into the cemetery. He fell on his wife's graves in the mud, sobbing, "If only I had known, if only I had known." He says, "I wonder how many of us will stand before the Father one day, our Heavenly Father, saying, 'If only I had known, if only I had known how much you loved me, God.'" In contrast to the writer's wife, who apparently said little or nothing about her love, God, on the other hand, has made it abundantly known how he feels about a relationship with us. But we're too busy, too concerned about all the things that are important to us. We are like the seed that fell among the thorns. But there's a final group in Jesus' parable. The seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is what one who produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. This is the wonderful thing about seed sown on fertile soil. It can lead to a harvest bountiful beyond imagination. And someone has said, you can count the seed in any apple, but you cannot count the apples in any one seed. French author Jean Giono tells the story of a young man who was undertaking a long hike through France and to the Alps in the year 1913. The young man runs out of water in a treeless, desolate valley where only wild lavender grows, and there's really no trace of civilization except an old, empty, crumbling buildings. Lacking water, he encounters a shepherd who shows him a spring where he can drink from. Curious about the man, he has chosen this lonely life. The young man stays with him for a time. The shepherd, after being widowed, has decided to restore this ruined landscape of the isolated, largely abandoned valley single-handedly by cultivating the forest. He's made 1,000 holes in the ground with his curling pole, dropping the acorns into the fertile soil or into the soil. The young man leaves the shepherd and returns home and later fights in the First World War. In 1920, shell shock, what they called it then, and depressed from the war, he returns. And he's surprised to see young saplings growing, taking all forms of root in the valley, and streams of water running down where this young shepherd, where the old shepherd has made dams. The young soldier makes a full recovery in the peace and the beauty of the recovering valley and continues to visit the shepherd. Over 4 decades, he continues to plant trees in the valley and has turned into kind of a garden of Eden. Giono writes, "On the site of the ruins I had seen in 1913 now stands neat farms. The old streams fed by the rains and snows that the forest conserves are flowing once again. Little by little, the villages have been rebuilt. People from the plains, where the land is so costly, bringing youth, bringing motion, bringing vibrance, the spirit of adventure to this place. You see, my friend, good seed on good soil brings forth a bountiful harvest due to the dedication of one single man. Four kinds of soil, says Jesus. Four kinds of people. Those who have been culturally conditioned to resist the message of God's grace. Those who have heard the message but have never given themselves completely over to it. Those who have heard it but have too many other concerns to focus on God. And finally, those who hear the word and apply it to their lives and become faithful, fruitful members of the kingdom of God. Which kind of soil, which kind of person are you? Which do you choose to be? May God bless you. Amen.